All right. This class is, what is this class? Thank God we write it on the board. Don't forget Amy. So we're going to begin with Amy coming up and sharing some of the things that they've been doing and working on. And they've worked on a bunch of stuff to pass out and to send to people and did get it passed out. And now we have the blessing of them coming in and sharing and reading along the lines of ProSelf. So, Amy, if you'll come, please.
All right. I just want to start in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just come, not to another class, not to another time to fill us up, Lord, but we come just to find you and just, Father, we ask that we would be silenced before you, before your throne, Lord. Just to hear what you have to say. Father, may it be so important to us. Father, I pray that you open our hearts and open our ears and our minds to hear what your Spirit is saying. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, this is called Am I an Instigator? Okay. No way around it. My mind is no angel. I may feel I seek only to remove all the evil, but the fact is I have been lying to myself by highlighting the failures and the shortcomings of others. I genuinely believe I am ridding myself of all these terrible villains in my life, but I'm quietly including everyone who does not make me happy, who does not honor me. Now, let me ask a question. Do I believe my thought processes are basically angelic? Okay, so having persuaded myself that I am the victim, I will seduce and I will groom others to regurgitate to me what I desire about the villain, without me ever having to say a word. Here's another question. Do I ever speak evil of a person hoping that others will too? That's their fault. I didn't do it. That's ProSelf is a master manipulator, throwing others into a bad light and casting the shadow off of myself, as I stand as an innocent lamb. Maybe I never handed my allies a gun, but my words have set motions in action that I, my lamb self, would never do. Here's a couple more questions. Do I allow myself to be governed by ProSelf spirit? And am I the person to judge my own motives? I'm going to pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, you put Jesus in us because of the beauty of his ways and the purity of his heart, knowing that those things that are so contrary to him could be overridden and removed from our manner of life. Father, you also know that we can have this beautiful Jesus within us and still hold on to ProSelf spirit. We can still use it. We can find it valuable. Lord, I ask you to forgive us for that openness to maintain the old while claiming the new. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Father, we just ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. You know, I just really agree with that spirit, that these things are so very important, so incredibly important. Christianity has made us major on minors, but and because we don't really relate to God very much, other than for what our needs are, we haven't really found the depths of his heart, of his experience, and of some of the things that we've read, like the last week, the parable that wasn't a parable, the mystery that had been hid from before the foundation of the world, which was the breach. It was the breach. And it affects God every day. And not just like a businessman who has people that are, you know, inadequate for the job or something like that. His whole purpose in creation was to have something that was of him, that was in his image, that was full of light, full of light, full of light. And Lucifer gave all that up and didn't just stay a single entity that is, you know, that hurt God or something like that, but is constantly at work within the world, within the church, around us. And if we don't grasp these things about pro-self, we will assume that most of the people we know, including ourselves, are not really included in this thing, and are living above it, which is kind of a pro-self thought and all by itself, you know. But it's also the result of a great deception. A great deception, and that's one of the primary powers, if you will, that the devil has, is that of being able to deceive us. And this area, boy, he really wants to deceive us, because he's getting more and more and more people on board. The world, the way it's moving, and the attitudes and the actions and the things that are happening now that weren't happening before. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm 73. Mike's 73 in a month above me. I don't remember a time where parents were, and you may be totally ignorant of this part, parents were killing their kids because they were a problem to them. And people that would get upset, I mean, this recent thing that happened in Tulsa just a day or two ago, was because the guy's girlfriend, you know, made him mad. So he went in and killed some people. Or not the one in Tulsa, but another one recently. And it's all about self. And if self doesn't get its way, so it's just going to take it out on somebody. And it's just going to do horrible things that it says this isn't horrible. This is just because I should have been treated better. Man, oh man. And, you know, we don't live in a bubble. We're in this world. And hopefully we're being salt and light, you know. And that's not some unknown two words that, because we're Christians, we're being that. But the light, let's just take it from the light and then think of what we talked about last week with what was originally in God's heart and the way he viewed this environment that he was building and how Satan turned the light off in him, or Lucifer. And then, you know, and we'll get to that eventually, but, you know, took one third of the angels. I mean, if you think of that, that's a lot. It's a lot of angels to join with that spirit because of that spirit, because it was better than being self-giving and more blessed to lose, meaning give, than to receive, and more, you know. And you know, Amy said, not just another class. Man. I mean, I'll just tell you, for me, this hasn't become a class. I mean, he's sharing so much with me, I could never share it all. And I have a feeling he's not going to shut up. You know. But it really is doing something inside of me. It's really making me aware, which is changing me, making me aware of his heart, of what's happened to this world that was never meant to be this way. And so, you know, I just pray that we all can open our heart to the Lord for the Lord, to the Holy Spirit for the Father and the Son, to the Father for the Son and the Holy Spirit, and so it goes. Anyway, there is certain things within these searches that I'm doing that I have not figured out the timeline. And when I say timeline, here's what hit me the other day. I was thinking about how a book, it has the first chapter and then you go to the second chapter and then you go, or an ongoing movie theme or show, you know, that's having one after another. And it's telling the story, even if it's fiction, or it's telling the story of a real person. As it goes, you're learning and you're growing and you're knowing them. And it just came to me that, you know, the Bible, we always think the Bible's about us. You know, that this was written for us, that we're the ones that this is about, which is, again, pro-self. It misses the mark. It's all about us. But it occurred to me, you know, in the beginning, God. I mean, that's the first words. In the beginning, God. And how our blindness has caused us to miss that. What if the Bible was an ongoing story about God and about his experience since creation, because it involves us, but his experience with that, and his ups and downs, or if you will, you know, and hurts and whatever, and betrayals, you know. I mean, if any of you have ever really had a betrayal, you know how that hurts. I mean, especially if it's somebody you love. Then David experienced that, and, you know, God experienced it even more. And, but it is, you know, for the first time, I just kind of saw it as because it was at the same time when I was looking at that parable, where it said he will speak things that were before the foundation of the world, but he will speak to them in parables. And thank God, somebody asked him, you know, the disciples said, tell us, and I'm sure they had no clue, you know, that he was going to open eternity, you know, before, and God's heart, and the effect of all of this. And, you know, but thank God they did, because we never would have asked. Don't you think, really? I mean, if nobody asked, we'd have just read it and went, oh, yeah, you know, there's a guy that sows and then da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff. But we never would have got to his heart. We would have said, yes, there was a devil and he did bad and, you know, God's saving us. And, you know, the general Christian mindset that has no real feel for the Lord in that. And when I say that, I'm not saying I have a real feel for the Lord and that I, in any way I'm above. I'm saying I think that it's breaking his heart on another front, because those who could know are not knowing, and therefore not as diligent with talking about somebody behind their back or trying to move somebody from their position with this person over to themselves or any of that kind of stuff. You know, and how deeply wrong that is, but we go, well, you know, it's, you know, everybody does it. No, it's deeply wrong to the Lord. And see, if it's not about the Lord to us, if the whole story and the whole book is about us, then it's not as powerful to us to want to change if in our mind everybody does it. But if you genuinely begin to hear from him and you see what this thing is about, it affects you, and you don't want to do that, because it's like joining with the enemy, because that's what the enemy's doing all the time about the Lord. What it did to hang him on a cross. So, I appreciate the prayer and what Amy shared, because it has the tenor of something that we're being, you know, it's like Jesus, the disciples saying, you know, tell us the parable is over, and Jesus opens it up. Well, do you think they got it at that moment? Do you think they went, oh my God, the whole thing is based on this, and this is, or do you think they went, oh, okay, you know, kind of, you know, like, well, it's going to be all right then, because the good ones are going to heaven. But he's, you know, he doesn't talk about himself that much. They had to pull it out of him. He'll lift up one of the other members of the Godhead, but he didn't talk about himself that much. And so, and that's just his nature. But if you, and I keep saying this, but I'm telling you, it's beyond my words to show you that there is a key here that really, really works. But if you go to the Holy Spirit and you say, could you tell me about the Father's heart? Because this whole story, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but this whole story really involves the Father, because the Father wanted sons in the image of Christ. And the Father wanted to father this thing into existence. And once you know that, and you start searching, that name keeps coming up and up and up and up. Father, Father, Father. You find out this is, oh no, you know? But you see, it's more powerful when the Holy Spirit says, let me tell you about the effect this had on the one who wanted to have children of light. Right? You remember that? We read that scripture? Children of light. And, you know, it's not, you know, and then there's this way that we're able to comprehend that there's a devil and that there's a God. And, you know, it could run along any, you know, half of the movies they make, especially ones for guys, that there's a devil or a bad person and there's a good person and, you know, but it's all going to work out. But, you know, where is any kind of care and relating for him? Well, you won't have it unless the Spirit of God shows you this. Or you can even say to Jesus, Jesus, tell me about this. And always add, because I do, but don't say a word to me if I'm going to pervert this. If I'm going to use it to lift up myself or make me look more spiritual. Or write a book on it and go, look what I wrote. Look what I saw from the Lord. I always tell him, either the Holy Spirit or any one of the Godhead, I'm asking you for your sake, not for my sake. But if I take this and I pervert it, I ask you not to show me a thing. Just don't show me anything. Just keep me out of the loop. But if I can, you know, remember I talked about, you know, with Buddy and his child dying and the other one still has major brain damage and just sitting with him. We would go, well, you know, I just want the Lord to sit with me. I mean, it's one of the beautiful things I think about women is that when they see another woman hurting, a lot of times they'll come over, they'll always touch them, they'll always either hold their hand and put their arm around them or whatever. You know, guys just go, well, I hope you get better, you know, or whatever. But it's beautiful, but it's intimacy. But what about with God? You know, he's done that, you know, we don't know how many times that he was there and we got through it just because he came, as it were, and just sat with us. You might eventually feel peace and go, oh, God gave me peace. Well, what if he didn't give you peace? What if he sat with you and cared and covered and loved and was sad with you? I mean, what if, you know? And then we give all the glory to grace, you know. Well, that was the grace of God. And what we mean is it was grace, not God. I mean, think about it. We say that was the grace of God, and we're talking about, well, it was grace. Usually our emphasis is, oh, that came by grace. No, it came by a gracious God. And that peace, he is that. He's supposed to be our peace. And so, but here's the thing. I'm talking about things that you kind of know. You know, you kind of know those things. But what if he's wanting every ounce of what he's doing for us in those ways? What if he's wanting us to be like joined with God and therefore in the Godhead spirit, give back to him because he's not getting it any other way? What about a bride? What about sons in the image of Christ? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, a bride isn't just going to go, well, I'm glad to be with you, you know, thank you. You know, or, by the grace of my husband, or by, you know, the peace that, you know, my husband gave, meaning the Father, or Jesus, or however. But fitting in to being of, to being in union with, not theologically oneness, but to be in union with on levels that count for him, not for us. Well, thank God I got oneness, right? Anybody ever thought something like that? Thank God for oneness? Well, if it's all pointed towards us, then we've missed the mark. In other words, the truth is, then we've entered into the breach. Because it's about us, see? But it's not a breach if it's flowing in that same spirit. And so it's like another land. It's like another realm to enter into, but it's the most important realm to enter into. And I don't think that God is going, well, I wanted to tell this to Randy or to anybody else here. I wanted to tell this to them because, you know, I needed da-da-da-da or any of that kind of stuff. It's the principle of God that created everything. And this thing that's going on around us and in us sometimes, or maybe a lot, is a breach of that. It is the breach because we don't ever think of him and being that way towards him. That there would be a oneness that would really benefit him, that he would get something that he gets from the Holy Spirit or the Son. I'm just using the Father as the example, but it's they. He would get something, or they would get something, you know, that they get from the others, but they never get from us who are supposed to be one. And I don't know. So I just, I'm still, you know, learning and in the midst of this. And so I wanted to share a little bit, and in some of this I wanted to also ask for help, or ask you to meditate on it and see if you have something. You may already have something. But the title of this is, I want it to be The Difference Between Satan's Fall from Heaven, The Difference Between Satan's Fall from Heaven and the Breach. Okay? Because now I know that difference. But I'll get into one of the parts that I don't go in just a minute. Okay, so first scripture that I want to share out of is Job 38. Job chapter 38. And some of you know this, but Job is considered one of the oldest books in the Bible. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand. Well, good for y'all. God bless y'all. Whoopee! Okay, so doesn't that make it a little more interesting? Because it's on the front end. Instead of like us, we're on the back end. But it's on the front end. And guess where the name Satan is used more than any other book of the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Job 38, verse 4 through 7. I think that's all the verses I got here. Where were you? This is God talking to Job. Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? All right, so this is saying before the foundation of the world. When this is going on, and when it was finished, the angels rejoiced over this creation, because I don't think it was ever just pretty fountains and clouds, wispy clouds and untouched terrain and all that kind of stuff that the angels are going, woo. I think they were seeing it as God saw it. And as God meant it to be, clean spiritually, if you will. All right. And so I think I'm reading in a different translation and have been for a little while. But how does that verse end, and all the angels shouted for joy? How's that translated in your, you got a King James or any other translation? Sons of God, okay. Which we know that's the sons of God, right? Because it says in Job that the sons of God came before him, and, you know, it mentions the angels. So I wrote down, most believe that the angels were created before creation, and this kind of lends itself to that. But this thought came to me, that when it says, and all the angels shouted for joy, and the breach hadn't happened yet, Lucifer is in that group shouting for joy. What do you think of that? I mean, that's the way it was meant to be. He was there going, yeah, this is great. Until he looked at himself and said, yeah, I'm even greater though. Yeah. All right. So, after the breach, Satan still maintained access to heaven for a while. Right? Book of Job. See, that's why I'm telling you, Book of Job is the place to go. If it is one of the earliest or the first books ever written, then it is, you're going to find stuff there, okay? So, so that's what's going on where he presents himself before God. And remember what God says, have you considered my servant Job? And, you know, that's what starts the whole Book of Job from, you know, and it's really based on how God or Satan gets hold of a vessel. Okay. I mean, it's the oldest in the world. No wonder it's that. God, Satan, you know. And so, anyway, so he was appearing while the earth was there. He was appearing before God, and God said to him, you know, what have you been up to? This is my translation. What have you been up to, Satan? Right? What have you been up to? And he's referred to as Satan, not Lucifer. Little points that we don't always get, you know. But that's Satan coming before the throne of God. And he says, well, I've been, you know, just walking up and down the earth and, you know. Okay, so he's already, he still has access to heaven at this point. He still has access to God at this point. And he has access to the earth. Which makes sense. Because it says, thou wast in the Garden of Eden. That was in Eden. Remember that? And it's either Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14. And so it's trying to give us clues pertaining to the process. And of course, it's like the skeleton, in a sense, being one of the first books where we begin to lay meat and, you know, build up what's really there. But you have to have certain elements in place. So, Job 1, reading what I've just described to you. Job 1, verse 6 through 12. Again, a little different translation. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. With them. Okay? And it didn't say Lucifer came with them. It said Satan came with them. All right? Came with them. The Lord said to Satan, not Lucifer, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? All right? So this seems strange to so many Christians, because they go, well, why would God point him out? Why would a God even bring Job up? My God, you know? Well, there is this ongoing battle, if you will, but Well, there's so much in this book, but Satan is throughout the book. Basically, he's doing stuff to get Job to turn on God, right? Or change sides, or join the breach. Amen? I mean, that's pretty evident. But God starts with pointing Job out and then allowing the devil to do, you know, certain things, while God doesn't really do anything or intervene or explain himself explain himself to Job, and only shows up at the very end of the book. And when he shows up, it's with purpose, but most people would misread his appearing or his speaking. They would misunderstand it for sure, because they don't know the main elements of the book of Job. But one day, you know, maybe I can get into that a little more. So, have you considered my servant Job? My servant. Didn't we talk about servant recently in some class? I think we did. It was in Jonah class. Jonah, my servant. Jesus said, Jonah, my servant. Ezekiel, let's look at this, but it's not going to be the same scriptures. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. And then we'll also read verse 20. So Ezekiel 14, verse 14 and 20. So this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Okay, so there is a context within this that I'm not wanting to get into right now, because it totally is apart from what we're sharing here. But the important part to see is that God, at a certain juncture, is speaking to Ezekiel, who is way down the line, and he's speaking to him about Job. Because Job, from the moment Satan showed up until God finally laid into him and then revealed himself, he was a mess. Y'all remember what I was talking about in Jonah class last? I mean, he really was. I mean, he did so much good stuff, but that all perverted him. Think about it, if you know anything about the book of Job. That was his big argument to the three counselors, which is the majority of the book. His argument was, well, I did this and I did that, and, you know, and why is God mistreating me and all this kind of stuff? It didn't matter. God didn't intervene. God didn't get up on the... Have you ever seen a cartoon where, you know, it's like the bad wolf or something, you know, and maybe I'm just making up somebody, but let's just say it's a person, and that person is sitting there, and this angel comes and says, you should, you know, sits on his shoulder and says, you should do so and so, and da 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 da. But then this devil appears on the other shoulder and says, nah, don't do that. You should do so and so, da 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 da, you know. And of course, that's supposed to be a picture of us being pulled. Well, God's not really pulling a lot. And we're going, Paul, do something. You ever thought that? Why didn't you do something? You need to do something now. Don't be waiting. Don't be pointing me out either to the devil. But God just kept going. I mean, he just kept hands off, and he let the devil do his best. And then he let the helpers. Then he unleashed the helpers. Miserable counselors are these, said Job about them. And so, but it keeps going until that very end. And there's a whole big picture there that I'm not going to get into right now. But the point being that God comes back after a long time of all this going on, and he strikes one blow, and Job falls on his face, and he said, I abhor myself in dust and ashes, and da 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 da, you know the rest. When God moves, it happens. And maybe, and I know that he was in the book of Job, maybe he's just trying to get you in a certain place. And maybe he's not doing the, well, get over here now. Okay, now move over here. Maybe he's sitting back and letting Satan do some of the work for him. Say, would God do that? Yeah, because the end result is that, you know, the devil thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And he doesn't even understand the logic of God. Okay, so also, let me just go ahead and mention James. You know that Job's mentioned in the book of James, right? James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Take my brethren, the prophets. Is Job a prophet? Is Jonah a prophet? Maybe what being a prophet means is something really different than just all the guys that are in the Bible that are going, thus saith the Lord, you're all going to hell. Maybe. You never know. Who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. For an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, and of tender mercy. So, so that phrase, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I wrote, clearly this question lets us know that Satan had been around for a while. Right? I mean, we're trying to find kind of a timeline here. We're trying to see how this thing forms up. We're trying to put some meat on the skeleton, if you will, to try to find out this thing. And as I said, clearly, this is showing us that Satan has been around for a while. Okay, so then, and there's a couple other things that I wrote in here. I mean, if this is one of the oldest books, one of the reasons why they kind of think that it is was that Job lived to a really old age, like the patriarchs. Okay. Also, because there's no mention of any religious edifice or anything else, like the law. You know, he doesn't mention the law. It's nothing in there. The temple or the tabernacle or any of that kind of stuff. There's no mention of that. And so, you know, people that know more than I do take that to mean that it is probably one of the earliest books written. God and Satan as an adversary. So this is just a fact. God and Satan as an adversary and the need for God to be revealed to us are facts taken for granted in the book of Job. That's pretty cool. I mean, if you think about it, it's really been cut down to, you know, shaved down to, okay, there's God and there's Satan and there's the need for God to be revealed to you. Right? I mean, isn't that kind of the basic thing? And that's what happens, and that's where you get in the New Testament some higher declarations of the Lord in that whole thing. But we've made, not you and me necessarily, but Christianity has made this thing so much stuff, you know, well, you know, you got to be righteous. Well, Jesus has made unto you righteousness. What about that? Do we care about that? Do we care about him being our righteousness, or are we okay working at our own righteousness to be better and better? You know? And, you know, the Spirit of God is working on us to put us to death. We're working to stay alive. You know, I want to get better. Isn't that what Lucifer said? I want to get better. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want to be this and that. And so we have allowed something to invade us, and I think that's probably a good way of putting it right there, to invade us, to invade Christianity, and making it all about, well, you know, even our explanation of God Almighty and all of that stuff, folks, he won the victory through being crucified and not fighting back. He didn't win it by his strength. But we go, yeah, our God is a mighty God. And we're getting all into that. In some churches, just, you know, standing there, going, Jesus, you know. And you get so riled up, you bite a hole out of the pew in front of you or something. You know what I mean? Because you're just so, you know, this is what we are and all this kind of stuff. Instead of, no, this is not what we are. What we are is lambs, and what they are is goats or beasts. And this is what we want to be. And I don't want to be that. I want to be him. I want to be the guy high and lifted up. And it wasn't, yeah, let's lift him high. It was, let's high and lift him up on a cross. And if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men unto me. This spoke he of the manner of death that he would die. High and lifted up to him means a completely different thing than it does to average Christianity. But we can let that slip. What if everything has a tint to it, or a tinge to it, or a stain to it that has been perverted by Satan himself, and we don't even know it? So, so one of my final remarks on that, I think, is the point is that Satan was not yet cast forth from heaven for bringing about the breach. Okay, because remember, the title of this was The Difference Between Satan's Fall from Heaven and the Breach. Okay. So just reading a little bit of Jonah there. Job there. Okay, so do you know, are you aware, and I'm really asking a question here, do you know the difference between the fall of Satan from heaven and the breach? Does anybody think that you could put it into words somewhat? Raise your hand. Why don't you come on up? And that'll give me an opportunity to have a little drink.
I think it seems to me that the breach is when Lucifer said, I will ascend, and he corrupted his wisdom by his beauty. And then the fall is when God casts him down because of that rebellion in his heart.
Right. And, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. The breach happened, and God did not immediately cast him out of heaven. Um, I mean, I wonder, see, my mind goes a lot of different places, but it makes me wonder, the fact that when he cast him down to earth, I mean, I'm sure you've read the example in the book of Revelation, but if you're in the earth, and then Satan's been confined to heaven all this time with God and with the angels of God, there's a certain amount of protection, right? Because he's up there. But when God cast him down to the earth, there's this thought of, we don't want him down here, right? Right? I'll give you a little example of that. Years and years ago, I think when we were on Bolivar Church, there was this movement where everybody was trying to get the devil out of their city. Okay, so it was like, well, call to the north and call to the south and call to the east and the west. And in the name of Jesus, you know, leave our cities, because we were going to take our city for the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, get out. And I remember, you know, when some of our people started praying like that and everything, and I went, where are these demons going? They're going to somebody else's church. And I'm going, this can't be right. This cannot be right. I mean, with all my being, I felt this cannot be right. And I thought, and I told our people, didn't I? Back then, I told them, I told that, well, you probably remember too. I told them, and I said, we are having Christ formed in us. We are better equipped to have them come here and not be influenced by them than sending them over to somebody who's probably not equipped at all. And I said, so our goal is not to get them out. Our goal is to get Christ formed in us in such a way that it doesn't matter if they're all around us. We are still with the Lord, which is what Jesus did. Right?
Yes.
And so there's so many examples of that stuff that was going on. And I know probably still goes on in many churches. But it was just like, this can't be right. No, why doesn't somebody else beside me always stand up and have to, you know, look bad? Because, you know, well, we don't want no demons in our church. I'm like, well, I think we got one right now. So anyway, my thought along that line was, why, and this is just me musing, I don't know. Why did God cast him out of heaven to earth? Now, remember that the Bible says that, like in Matthew 25, you cursed of the Lord, you know, you're consigned to the lake of fire, where is Satan and the fallen angels, and it was prepared for them, but you're going there. Okay, so that's like the end of the road, right? God didn't kill him. And at this stage, he didn't immediately put him there so that he would be there forever. He cast him down to the earth. I mean, don't y'all read stuff and go, this is weird. You know, this just seems really weird. What if I told you, and I'm not saying this is it. I'm just, if nothing else, it's just good to try to think. But what if God is doing that in his grace, actually for Satan, with the hopes that the longer you're down here, maybe somehow you'll see, if nothing else, Christ crucified and go, oh my God, you guys, you triune God, you're something else, you know, and I'm sorry or whatever. I mean, you never know. You just never know. Because it does seem, well, why not just put him and his fallen angels in lake of fire way back then and solve everything. Well, you know, part of that does relate to us. It does. It relates to us. He left the devil And he didn't just leave the devil, you know, in heaven. He put him on earth, but he just didn't leave him on earth. He didn't chain him up on the earth. He put him right in our midst. And what if it's true that instead of casting out all the demons and sending them to another city instead of our own, we not be breached. But we live as lights. And it glorifies the Father, and it glorifies the Son, and it glorifies the Holy Spirit. You know, my mind also runs to, well, what about all the bad people in the earth, you know? Same thing, you know? He's not trying, you know, we're always praying them away. Lord, on my job, I got this person, they're really bad and everything, and, you know, could you fire them? You know, in other words, send them to somebody else. Do you see what I'm saying when I say send them to somebody else? I'm saying I'm using my power with the Lord to send more attackers and bad people or demons to somebody else. And I'm going to stand before God for that because I have to have everything moved and removed and peaceful and right around me. Instead of me being peaceful, make my circumstances peaceful, and then I'll be everything you want, and you won't be anything that he wants because you're still shoving people, you know, other places instead of saying, leave them right here and change me. And mean it with all your heart. And mean it with all your heart. What time is it? It's time for me to quit. Did I start on time, Lindsay? Okay. Well, then, I better mark this because I really... He does?
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got, brother?
It's his little hand.
Oh, Debbie's, it's nothing, Mike. It's my wife thinking that you're ready to cast all the demons out of us. I don't mind you casting them out. Just don't send them to somebody else. Let's just put them in a box. Maybe I should get my guitar and sing that song for you. It's called I'm Glad I Got Converted. Well, you know, I mean, maybe if nothing else, you can really see that the Lord is dealing with me so deeply. And I don't want to fix the world now. I don't want to, in a certain sense, I don't even want to fix me, because the way to fix me is to let Christ live in me so that I can be what the Father needs or what the Holy Spirit needs, or, you know, on all of those fronts, so that it's a completely different plan. It's a completely different plan than not, you know, nominal Christianity. And it puts you in a place where you are intimately involved with the Lord, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're fitting right in, if you'll do it, you're fitting right in to that pocket where you're flowing with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the way that they are. You're children of light. You're children of light. So he says, walk then as children of light. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And trust me, good is laying down your life and suffering the sufferings and making it part of the sufferings of Christ. Instead of running from it, instead of trying to get out of it, instead of hiding, instead of, you know, whining. So anyway, I'm supposed to quit. Father... Oh, Father. Father, there is There's so much more that could be drawn out of us, and I believe that you have not initiated this search and this desire in our hearts for in vain, because Father, we're slowly seeing this pro-self thing and how ugly it is and how it really is what Satan created and what he wants us to join him in the breach against you, against your Son, against the Holy Spirit. But no, we want the Lamb. We want your Spirit. We want the living God, and not be content with having a God that we really don't understand and know. Father, with each time we come together, and then in our personal prayer time or our personal time with you in the Word, continue to allow the Holy Spirit to take the veil off of our eyes so that we could say, I am not worthy. I'm just not what you want. But your Son in us can come forth, and the Lamb can sit on the throne of our hearts, and one day sit on the throne of the universe with us there, glorifying him, the slaughtered lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Because that's who you've always been. Not just when you came to earth on Calvary, but you've always been a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And when the world is ending and all is wrapped up in the book of Revelation, there you are again, a lamb slain on the throne. So Father, help us to prioritize your heart and what you call important. And we will do that if you allow it, if you will. Because your Spirit stands ready to carry that forth and to bring forth more sons in the image of Christ, children of light. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.